Okay. There it is. Yeah. Where is God in injustice? He's being a good waiter. I'm sorry for the heat in here. So sorry.
Sorry, it's my fault, really.
It is. That Pieto clan was just so good.
No, bro, I think it's in here. All the red.
No, sorry.
Yes, I like it. I like it. Very good. Yeah, I like it. Yes, I'm good. I'm good. Totally good. Oh, I thought you meant was I literate. Yes, I can't. No, I'm just kidding. A couple of announcements. House cleaning, if you will. I am so sorry. We're not going to meet next week because it's Mother's Day and like everybody is, everybody's going to that Brandon Stem wedding and then people are graduating and moving from Clemson.
Yeah,
so everybody, not everybody, there will be very few here, so no meeting next week. We're so glad you're here, Ashley. We're so glad you're here. And you kick with authority. You. I was scared back there in the outfield.
I was scared.
Here's the text. And this is it, and I'll say a real quick word of prayer. Lord, please bless us in this time, understand your word better. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit, and I pray, God, that we would know and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the text. It's just a few verses. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. Is this NIV? You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you too will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Now, let me just break that down. There's a guy. Hold on. James is talking to people who are being mistreated for being a believer in Jesus. Christianity is kind of a new religion at the time. So they're being persecuted. And he says this, be patient, brothers. They're taking advantage of you. You're losing your jobs. You're having to pay like $10,000 more than what it's worth. But be patient, brothers. So what happened a few years ago? Did anybody know who that? Yeah, I already put it down there. Guy's name, Karl Marx.
I recognize that.
He calls it opiate of the masses. In other words, religion is nothing but something people put in their pipe and just escape reality. He says, rich people take advantage of poor people, and he uses this verse. Be patient then, brothers, till the Lord's coming. In other words, take it. Take what's coming to you, because God's gonna make it right in the end. So he would point to this verse and say, see, that's how the rich take advantage of you, Christians. It's just the opiate of the masses. Your little drug to put in your pipe and escape reality. That's all it is. In other words, Christianity is basically the drug people used just to say, all better, not that bad. And you'd say, you're being taken advantage of. That's how it is. See those Christians? You can take advantage of them. You can do whatever you want. They're blinded to how bad things really are. James' audience is living in a world where they are being trampled on, taken advantage of, all kinds of stuff. And James writes here, be patient. Notice he doesn't say, start a revolution. He doesn't say, get him back. Tooth for tooth, right? He says, be patient with them all. Be patient. Patience is one of the hardest things to show in the midst of being treated unfairly. So, okay, let me just be real with you. We're talking about times of injustice. Right there you see Kennedy Middle School. Old Mini B Kennedy. Anybody, Andrew, did you go there?
Who? Like basketball games.
Did anybody go to Kennedy? No one went to Kennedy. Wow. Okay.
Michael went to Kennedy.
Yeah,
Michael
went to Kennedy.
We're talking about injustice. And when things just aren't right, God will make it right. All right, well, this happened in eighth grade. And I kind of a Christian. I don't know if anyone would call it. I did not really claim my faith moment. So this is what happened. I remember. And the year before, I goofed off and I had to go to just regular English. I didn't go to English 1 in 8th grade. I know. So, I didn't know anybody in this class, and it was a sort of a different, rougher crowd. And I did the best I could, but one day, this kid who's sort of a bully, he's just shorter than everybody, way shorter. But he turns around, and he's got a lisp. I'm not trying to pick on him, but he turns around. He starts, like, pointing to me and giggling to this other dude, who's a big dude, and saying, like, yeah, I saw him do that at this camp out. And he was just totally making it up off the top of his head. How do I put this? that my orientation was different, and that he was naming names of other guys at that school, and he was giggling. And then I turn around and go, "You're lying. Look at him, he's getting mad. Look at him." I said, "You're lying. He's making that up." Well, long story short, I guess the dude sitting beside him started to believe it, and it started to spread like wildfire. So the next class we had together, that big dude was not with him. And I'd say this with some shame, but we're in chemistry the next class, or science aid, or whatever it's called. And it has these little beakers. And I'd had enough. I'd had enough of this kid saying these things that weren't true, and he was just giggling the whole way. So I pushed him as hard as I could. My little 13-year-old frame. Rage. And then, like, hilariously, his book bag, which is as big as him, goes over his head and knocks him into the beaker thing. I'm just like a nonviolent kid. But that got the best of me. The teacher stands in between. "No, no, no, stop it, stop it." And he was... and he was ready to go. And I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never been in a fight. I was like, "Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Whoops." I'm not trying to sound funny, but his book bag goes flying over his face. He's all red face. And with his lisp, he goes, "Stop! I'll break your face." And the teacher stopped in. I'll just say this to prove a point. It is really hard to wait on the Lord when things are happening like that. When it's totally not just taken advantage of, whatever you want to call it, it's really hard to wait on the Lord to be like, "God's got my back." In that moment, man, I lost it. A couple of things to think through about those times where it seems like things aren't going fair for you. Number one, going back to the original thing, the guy was basically suggesting that my orientation was different, and that I expressed this on many occasions with people in school. This kind of stuff ruins a kid, right? 4 or 5 years later, people finally start to understand, "Oh, that was a lie. He was just saying that." But there's nothing you can say in the midst of it. Besides, "No, he's lying." So this is why kids go to counselors and stuff like that, to get out this out of our heads, you know. So my only thought was, does God care? This makes kids want to, like, switch schools and stuff like that. Does God care? And if we go back to verse 4 of the same chapter, the same guy says, "Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty." Yeah, he hears. He hears. Different subject matter, but still the same idea. Junk happening, and it's not fair. It will reach a moment where the Lord's had enough, and he'll act on it. But when? That was my question. When? When? Question then is, when's God going to do it? Y'all like that picture of Abraham? I like it.
It's beautiful.
It is. For God, a day is like 1,000 years. So time really is not kind of quite working like that. Anyway, one day, one of my favorite stories, just because it puts things in perspective. God shows up, pulls this one pagan out of his land, and says, "I'm going to make a big nation out of you, Abraham. I'll make a great name out of you." And he goes, "Great. But hold on. Your people are going to go down to Egypt and be slaves for 400 years because the sin of this land is not full yet." What? they're doing child sacrifices. They're being pretty bad, but they're not quite up to the level yet where I'm going to judge them. That land's going to be yours, and I'll give it to you. But it's not quite full yet. What? 400 years? And they're offering children to Molech. It's a little false god they had who had arms outstretched. They'd put the baby there and burn them and you know, pray to whatever thing they thought was there, and he'd give them crops. But it's not yet full yet. 400 years and I'll act. Oh, goodness. Goodness. God was saying, "They're awful, but hold on." So think through this. God is very patient. But there will be a time when his justice demands action. And waiting is actually an act of faith. He's very patient. A couple things to think through as we make our way through this. His point so far is this: hang tight, people of God. You will be ripped off. People will talk about you. They will make fun of you, not pursuing the same things as they pursue. And it will bring you great shame. But are you willing to wait until I make things right? Are you willing to wait? So, just to give you, you probably don't hear, but in eighth grade, kid, God worked this out so wonderfully for me. He came to school, like, crying, and I was doing all I could not be like, I didn't know what he's crying about, because we're moving to Arizona. And I just sort of, like, raised it, like, see you later. Because that kid just, I knew what the Lord was doing in that situation. He was a bully. Bullies aren't just created, sort of, they're picked on, so they have to look for someone else, and found a target in me, and he made life really, really bad. And so eventually the Lord just whisked them away. So anyway, that always doesn't happen, though. Waiting is an act of faith. There's nothing passive about waiting. It's an act of wait, knowing that God will do something in the meantime. Okay, so next thing he talks about is farming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains? You also be patient. Rains in this part of the world came in two points of the year, two parts. Anybody want to guess? When's the fall rain?
Fall.
Yes, but what months?
September and November.
October, November, almost. Almost.
I don't know.
And then when's the spring rains?
April spring. And...
May.
Yes, April, May. April, May.
Actually, spring technically starts March
22nd. Oh, it does?
Oh. It actually changes a lot because...
I just knew April because...
The Earth is tilted on the axis, so really the way that the daylight saving time works...
I'm sorry, I'm just talking about a Jewish guy in the year 50 AD. That's all I'm talking about. Jewish guy in the year 50. He would know that. And he chose, look, you can till the ground, you can do all this other stuff, but really, you're just waiting on God to send the rain. There's nothing you can do to make it rain besides putting money like that. There's nothing you can do to make it rain. Nothing. So you're just waiting. And same way with God's justice. There's nothing you can do. You just have to wait this out. It's going to happen, but you just need to be patient. The regular rains are an expression of God's faithfulness. Just as he has repeatedly shown his faithfulness in sending the rain, he will show his faithfulness in bringing justice.
Speaking of rain.
Think about this.
Oh,
he says this. Be patient, brothers, until the Lord's coming.
Why are you closing them?
Just a little bit, just a little bit. Yeah, because a little bit's coming.
Speaking of rain.
I like the mist.
Oh, it's raining? It's all right. It's all right.
Dude, that's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. That is all right.
Thanks, Andrew.
Oh, you're welcome, Hannah.
James is talking to people being treated unfairly for the gospel's sake, and then he compares crops growing up. He says, stand firm. Please don't admit to this. If you've ever seen a sumo wrestling match...
Every day. I don't just see them. I compete in
I knew it. You're one of the world famous.
We used to do it at the picnic. We had little.
Yeah.
Was the idea to knock the other guy out? No. What's the idea?
Knock him down.
To knock him.
Well, you want to knock him out of the ring. You want to stand.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be knocked out. You want to stand firm. And that's what James is talking about here. Stand firm. Don't be moved by the pressures. Because when you're a believer in Christ, you will want to be moved. People will come and say, you believe that? And that's when you're kind of being tempted to move out of the ring. Stand firm, says James. When you're about to be persecuted, which you will, because of your faith, stand firm. Don't be moved.
He's going
to
see this
video.
I just Googled something.
What did you Google?
Sumo wrestling.
What do sumo wrestlers feel when, like, see people make, like,
probably offended.
Yeah.
Okay, I worked my whole life for this.
I hate my whole life.
8 centuries.
Here's the point. What does this mean to you as someone who's in the teenage years? What does it mean to you? Here's what it means. James is writing this to people persecuted because they believe in Jesus. You, right now, are in a circle of friends, no matter if you're in public school, homeschool, whatever, Christian school, you're in a circle of friends. And certain things you do by obeying Jesus will bring you some form of persecution. Here's one that's sort of on the level, probably for everybody in here. If you've ever been in that situation where person X, whoever it is, isn't in the room, but everybody's talking about person X. And then it turns and switches into, maybe crosses the line, turns into gossip. And then it starts maybe jokingly character stuff. And I know everyone in this room probably has been in that situation and maybe have been tempted to say, hey, we don't need to be talking about him like that or her like that. Now we're just kind of getting mean. What do you think is going to happen? The others in the room are going to go, they're going to think, well, you all here now? You were just having some fun. That's what James is talking about. Are you ready for that? Because if you follow Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. What about this one? I mean, flee sexual immorality. Man, the world out there has a far different message. Run to it, says the world. And if you stand up and go, nah, I'm going to stay pure and chaste, what do you think's going to happen? They're going to pick and pick and pick. Are you ready for that? James will say, be patient, because they're going to pick on you. Be patient. They may even snub you. They may keep you out of the inner circle because of your stance. Be patient. Be patient. Don't try to do some other type of stuff out of the flesh. Or just simply, just whatever it might be, fill in the blank. If you follow Christ hard, in fact, I'd make the argument, the harder you follow him, the more potential shame will be brought upon you. And people will go, what's your problem? And straight up, that's what happened when I became a full-fledged Christian at 18. The day later, no one called. The phone quit ringing. And it's a daily struggle sometimes for myself when I'm on social media and I see them. Because I haven't heard from them in years. Years. And the last memory I have of them is being like, I do remember, I mean, not to get too personal with you, but they invited me to do things which we used to do. And the first time ever, I said, I can't do that. And that started it. I was snubbed from the inner circle from that day forward and still are. Still am. And I see their activities all over the place and what they do and stuff like that. And it's really a heart struggle. Be patient, says the Lord. And I'm not saying be patient like lightning strike them. I want them to come to know the Lord. That's it. Okay. Part number three is this. He adds this at the end. Be patient. Don't grumble against each other, brothers. When you're spoken against by others, when you are disrespected for your faith, your natural temptation will be to take it out on others around you. It's sort of a micro version of bullying. So when others snub you or whatever that might be, your natural thing, your natural bend will be to take it out on those closest to you. Those closest get the most dangerous bullets. So, taking it out on others, whatever you want to call it, whenever we feel like we're getting the raw end of the deal, we have this weird desire for others to feel exactly how we feel. It's not fair that I'm being snubbed. You need to hear about this, and I'll tell you if you have an ear. That's where the grumble starts. We want others to feel our pain. It's not fair. It's not fair. Grumble and complain. And James says, don't go that route. Don't go that route either. So what do? Here's the trick. In order to be good waiters, you have to have a joy that's not dependent on events or circumstances. A joy that's like an anchor, so deep that it doesn't really matter what happens, that's not going to be changed. And I wish I could go back in time and tell 8th grade me, before pushing that kid, hey, Jesus' acceptance of you is far better than a good reputation, even if it's false. And God will handle this. But, I mean, I was 12, so what, 13, what can you do? You must have a joy that is not dependent on events or circumstances. And then, once you do, you can wait for justice. And you can trust while waiting, even though you're not in control. So what is that joy? Well, it's this. We've been talking about injustice and all that. The biggest injustice in the world is what we base our joy on. The biggest injustice in the world. What is that? A kangaroo court as the Son of God. People standing up saying, yeah, he's a heretic. Get him. Big time heretic. And Christ kept his mouth shut. I heard him claim this. Put him on the cross. And Christ kept his mouth shut. The greatest injustice in the world is where you get that sense of joy. Because all that time in that court, he's thinking of you and me and the elect. He's thinking of those that he's gathering to himself. This will be the final sin payment, the blood payment for my own. So I'm not going to talk. I can call down a legion of angels right now. Wipe out all the Rome, the whole world's population would be wiped out right now. But I'm going to keep quiet because I love them. That is how you can wait for justice and trust while waiting. He absorbed the biggest injustice in the world. Look at the cross, see the Son saying to the Father, allow me to fill their shoes and then place me in their... Let's just switch this up. Let's have an identity switch. You treat them as if they did all the obeying I did, while you're treating me as if I did all the disobedience they did. Once you switch those identities, that is the greatest love in the world, and that will enable you to do this, to wait, to wait. By making everything about Christ's self-sacrificial love for you, you can wait. Because why? The thing you want so bad to be made right isn't as good as Jesus' love displayed for you. You can trust even though you're not in control. Why? God has a good track record. He has a good track record of looking after you. Your biggest deal, sin, is taken care of. So, to the degree that you let the cross be your ultimate source of joy, you'll be able to wait. It's really hard. It's really hard, but what I want to talk about in the next whatever, we'll just break off into little groups here. And, you know, girls, you definitely get the good end of the deal because it is hot. It is hot.